Hi, this is Nelson Searcy again, and I'm still in the studio. I just finished up the recording of Why People Leave Church and What to Do About It. And so now joining me here in the studio is our producer for this resource, Scott Whitaker. And so, Scott, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Nelson?
I'm doing good. Scott says that while I was doing this resource, he thought of some questions that he had for me. And so what you're going to hear over the next couple of bonus MP3s, bonus tracks, is you're going to hear some unscripted, unanticipated, and dare I say dangerous questions from Scott, because you're being very careful not to show me that sheet of paper you've got these questions written on.
Yeah, these were some questions that just came to mind as I was listening through the resource and being here with you in the studio. And so I thought, it might be helpful for some of the guys. Maybe they have some of these same questions, and just be a great opportunity to kind of pick your brain a little bit.
Okay, well, you've heard the best. I don't know what the edited version of this will do. We recorded, 3 or 4 hours? So whatever it ends up being, you've heard the best that I've got on the resource, but I will do my best to answer these, and I'm a little nervous, but let's get started.
All right, the first one I thought I'd throw at you is the reasons for not doing exit interviews.
Well, what gave you the thought that I do not like exit interviews?
You mentioned it a couple times, I think. I don't know. Maybe I need to get the resource after this thing's all put together and re-listen to it. But
I think the exact words were, I do not like exit interviews.
There you go.
There are companies out there that you can actually hire to go in and study people who have left your church. But I mean, I think that's absolutely worthless. I think it's a waste of money. So what was the question again?
What are the reasons for not doing exit interviews? And I would imagine, a lot of the pastors are probably pretty well convinced of that. It's maybe some of their leadership is trying to point them in that direction. And so how can we help equip these guys to not do it?
Yeah, that's good. Well, first of all, exit interviews as a tactic is really an HR issue, a human resource issue in corporations. And really, it's a legal function. Corporations often will do an exit interview so that after someone leaves, they can't say they left because of discrimination policies or because of harassment issues or because of that. So the whole idea behind exit interviews was really designed to protect the company from lawsuits or from ill will after somebody left. And I really don't think that's what we're about in the church. And so I think as much as we can learn from business practices, this is not an area that I would suggest we learn from. Because if you think about it, somebody's left a church. Let's say you got a couple in your church. And let's just say their names are Scott and Kelly. Conveniently, that's Scott's wife's name.
Yeah. Okay. I think I know where you're going to go with this. Go ahead.
But let's just say Scott and Kelly have left your church. And so maybe you don't go over, but it's really tempting even for you to do it. But maybe some well-meaning deacon or leader in your church goes over to meet with them. And maybe they left church because, they really just don't like the looks of the senior pastor. I went to a church one time and we were visiting out of town. And my wife said, there is no way I could go to that church. His voice just grates on me. Now, I don't know, maybe something was wrong with her ears or whatever. I thought the guy's voice was fine, but he was a little high-pitched. But honestly, she just could not deal with this guy's voice. So let's just say that's the situation, Scott and Kelly have decided they don't like the church because the pastor's voice is too high, or they don't like the way he looks, or who knows what. Some silly issue like that. So then this well-meaning deacon sits down, or God help us, the high-pitched pastor who's not that pretty sits down, and he says, it would be really helpful to us and meaningful to us if you could give us some feedback on why you left the church, and maybe it's something we could do because we really want to reach people like you in the future. Well, you guys kind of make eyes at each other, like, I can't tell him it's the fact that his voice, grates on my ears like nails on a chalkboard, or I can't tell him, he's got the perfect face for radio. And so you kind of look at each other and, Scott, you kind of come up with something. You say, well, we're just really more into contemporary music. And then Kelly jumps in. Yeah, contemporary music. That's really what it is. We're contemporary music. And so, this church has been the piano and organ kind of church with the big choir. And so maybe he goes back and the next week he has a meeting with the other leadership and he says, what we need to do is start a contemporary service. Because people like Kelly and Scott out there, they want contemporary services. And so then this church ends up investing 6 months and $6,000 or more to develop a contemporary service based on poor information they received from this exit interview. And my experience is that 90% of the time, the people in your church don't really know what to tell you, so they just tell you something. because they don't want to make the pastor mad. They don't want to say, hey, your voice just grates on me, like rubbing my knuckles across a cheese grater. You know, they don't want to tell you that. They don't want to say that it's something that it really is. They don't want to say that it's this. So they don't really tell you the truth because they don't want to speak ill of the church. And then if they do speak ill of the church, is that something you can really do anything about it anyway? I mean, can the pastor go to voice therapy or, you know, smoke cigars and try to get a deeper voice? I don't know. You know, so you just see how that works. It's really not just a great place to collect information. And I'll just be honest, Scott, I feel the same way about other large research projects that are based on people in the church rating where they are spiritually and rating their maturity. And I just don't know that people can really articulate why they grow in their faith, and if they can really articulate why they leave, or if they can articulate why they love a church or don't love a church. And I mean, I could be dead wrong on this, but that's my reasoning on it.
Yeah, I thought of a really good one-liner on that, that people don't like to talk bad about the church. And if they do, you ought to beware.
Yeah.
You know, just, I mean, there's something about that. And, you know, we force people to do it when we talk about exit interviews. You also mentioned, Nelson, about people not being the professionals, you know, that that maybe they're leaving because of a children's ministry. And so you're asking about questions about the children's ministry. How can we improve? How can we improve this ministry or that ministry? And they're not the ones really who may be the professionals to be able to give that advice.
That's exactly right. You know, if somebody leaves and they say, well, you just don't have the quality children's ministry around here that we need, I would not go to them and ask how they can make the children's ministry better. I would bring in a professional children's minister. You know, go find someone who's serving at a church twice your size and say, look, would you be willing to take a Sunday and come over and evaluate our children's area and let the professionals give you advice? I mean, if I'm sitting in the back of a plane and the person says, you know, this pilot is just not flying this plane well, I don't interview that person and then take that list to Delta Airlines and say, well, how can we make the pilots better? No, we go get professional pilots to give this guy some pilot lessons. So professionals can give advice to professionals. The opinion of people in your church, it should be heard, and you should listen to that and all, but I would not make radical changes based on that. And I know that some who are listening to this, you know, you are diehard church systems fans. You've read all my stuff, and you know that I do ask for survey feedback from my first-time guest and second-time guest. And the truth is, you know, if somebody says, hey, the restroom smells, and somebody five times tells me that, I do go in and put an air freshener in the restroom. If somebody says, you know, I got lost in the parking lot, I do go out and put more signs in the parking lot. So it's not that getting feedback is important. I just am not willing to make major, major changes based on the opinion of somebody who's leaving the church. I would rather base my changes on those who want to stay in the church.